one of the people that came up there was Billy Graham. And I'm just standing in the seats, and I'm like, it's Billy Graham, right over there. This man who has preached the gospel so faithfully for so many years to millions of people. And I was anticipating, looking forward to hearing him as he preached, and was able to hear that. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. I could spend a lot of time telling you about it. But there was something even more significant about that Christmas break for me, Christmas 1987. It was the first Christmas for me that all of the trappings, and my kids, as we're sitting here, they're just having a heart, they're just looking at the Christmas tree, and my son's like, Dad, you see the dove on there? Why is there a dove? It was the first Christmas for me that all of the trappings, all of the things that I loved and still love about Christmas became real. Up until that point, Christmas trees and family gatherings and presents and all of those things were wonderful, wonderful things in my life. But they were missing Jesus Christ. It was my first Christmas as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas 1987. And there has never been a day or a Christmas since that hasn't been totally, totally incredible. I can't imagine my life apart from the Lord Jesus. And I pray that that is the case for you as well this morning. Amen. And what we want to do today, what I want to do today, and us as a congregation do today in these next couple weeks, is to look at the greatest gift that has ever been given. And we know that that is the Lord Jesus himself, the gift of God the Father of his Son. And we're going to look today at that gift and his life. Next week, we're going to look at the gift of Jesus, and specifically in his death and in his resurrection. That is part of the greatest gift, of course. And then the third week, third Sunday from today, we're going to look at this greatest gift, the gift of Jesus and his coming again to make all things right. So my prayer is that this morning and these coming weeks, that Jesus Christ would be so central to this season that so many other things can be either detractors from him or can be pointers to him. And I want to give God praise today for his grace in my life and pray that all of us would see all of the busyness, all of the things that this month brings as pointers to the Lord Jesus. Well, let's bow our heads before we look at his word today. Father, we give you praise. Lord, this time of year is one that is certainly marked by busyness, by Christmas parties, by Christmas lists, by shopping, by all kinds of extra things, Lord. And we pray that those extra things would not be detractors from, but would be pointers to the Lord of glory, the baby that was born in Bethlehem, that became the man who died on a cross as he grew and rose on the third day and has promised to come again for us. So, Father, we pray against the busyness. We pray against the materialism and the selfishness that can go along with that. We pray against expectations of material nature, of gift giving and those kinds of things. Lord, we pray that all those things that we would do would be pointers to you. And we pray today as we look at perhaps the most familiar passage in the New Testament, God, that you would open our eyes to this great, great gift, the gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, if you'd open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, page 1052 in your pew Bibles, we're going to begin at John chapter 3 and verse 16. Perhaps, probably the most well-known passage in the New Testament and one of the most well-known passages in the Bible. And as you're turning to John 3, we just mentioned something and set the context here. As these next few weeks, we're going to kind of be jumping around in passages and looking at this greatest gift ever given. John chapter 3, the context there is Jesus and Nicodemus, this man who traveled to see Jesus at night. And we're not going to have time today to look at that. I'm just kind of giving you this background as you turn in your Bibles. And there is some debate. You know, we're so familiar with this passage, we can sometimes look over so much that is in it. And there is some debate over verse 16 and following, which is what we're going to look at today, 16 to 21, and to who is actually speaking here. Jesus is interacting and dialoguing with Nicodemus. That's what's happening for sure up until verse 15. And then in verse 16, there's a debate. Is Jesus the one still speaking, or is it John reflecting on what has happened? Those of you that have red letter Bibles, verses 16 and following are probably in red letters, indicating the translator's call that this is Jesus speaking. And at the end of the day, this is inspired by the Spirit, and it doesn't make that much of a difference. But I think what we have in verses 16 and following are the words of John reflecting on this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And one of the reasons for that, we see, if we had time, we could see the phrase Son of Man, which is one of the phrases that Jesus uses to describe himself. And we see that being used up through verse 15, but then it drops out at verse 16. So let me read this. Verses 16 through 21, as we think about the greatest gift ever given. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. I chose this passage today. You say, this isn't maybe perhaps a typical Christmas passage, but I think it is a Christmas passage because it tells us of this greatest gift. And if we look at verse 16, what drew me to this passage was the Lord, and verse 16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And we see the gift of God, and my prayer is that we will be seeing the gift of God in Jesus more and more clearly this Christmas season. John is a masterful writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and one of the things that John, the gospel writer, does is use a lot of double meanings. And if we look at this verse, this verb gave in verse 16, it really links to two things. If we go back up to the end of verse 14, it says, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. And in one sense, God gave his one and only Son to be lifted up. And we have a double meaning with the verb gave, and then we have a double meaning with lifted up. When it says lifted up in verse 14, it's referring to two things. One is that Jesus is to be lifted up. He's to be exalted. He's to be praised. But of course, he's also referring to the cross, that he is to be lifted up on the cross. And he is going to die for our sins, that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. But the verb gave in verse 16 also points down to verse 17. Look at verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So he gave his Son in two ways. One, to lift him up, which has two ways. And then he also gave him to be sent into this world, which is what we think of at Christmas time, the baby being born in Bethlehem. The God of the universe, the second person of the Trinity, became a baby, became a person in Jesus. And God gave him the most ultimate gift at Christmas. The most ultimate gift in the history of the universe is the gift of the Lord Jesus. And so I want to challenge us this morning to be responding to this ultimate gift by loving God and by loving others. Here's another translation of verse 16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And I wanted to draw another, I think, double meaning in this verse that we all know so well. And if you notice in this translation, the word so is missing, that little two-letter word so. And I think that little two-letter word so is actually the very first word in verse 16 in the original translation in the Greek text. And that little word so can also be translated and have a meaning of in this way. For God loved the world so much, that's one way to take it. He loved the world so much, and that's the right way to take it. But He also loved the world in this way that He gave the ultimate gift. And He gave His Son, and He points back up with this word right at the beginning of verse 16 to this picture in verses 14 and 15. Look there at verses 14, this picture of Moses lifting up the snake in the desert in verse 14. And so too the Son of Man must be lifted up. And so this is how God has shown His love with the greatest gift, by giving His Son who is going to be lifted up. There's a lot of depth and simplicity in John's writing, and it's just beautiful. So God has called us to respond to this greatest gift by loving Him and by loving others. Love in such a way that Christ is lifted up. God is calling us to be givers this Christmas season. One of the things that my wife and I have seen her doing yesterday is trying to shepherd those of us that are parents. We've got to fight the fight this Christmas season to shepherd our kids so that they would have a spirit of Christ, a spirit of giving, rather than just a spirit of opening presents and gifts and this sort of thing. And so my wife yesterday spent a lot of time with our kids shopping and shepherding them and thinking about others and giving this Christmas season. This is one of the reasons that we do things at this time of the year, like the angel tree, the Christmas tree in the foyer on your way out. There's a few, at least there were this morning, individuals left that are in need of being shown Christ's love and being given things in His name so that we're pointing to Him. I pray and trust that all those will be gone after this morning. These are ways that we can show Christ's love to others and lift Him up in response to the greatest gift. The Divide Food Basket program, information in your bulletin about that and in the foyer. These are ways that we can show Christ's love to others. But we are to love others and God in such a way that Christ is lifted up in so many different ways. One of the ways that God calls us to love others is to invest in one another's life. And this last week, I had the opportunity, one of the ways that we do this at Cool Community Church is through our small groups, small group ministries. And I had the opportunity to visit our Cherry and Meadowview Acres small group. And I was just so blessed to see them praying and worshiping and loving each other and being around the Word. It is such a great sign when you're part of a small group of people and prayer time comes, and it's not just one of those kind of close and dismissal, get out the door kind of prayers, but people are almost stepping on each other with their words, eager to intercede for the needs in this circle of friends who are loving each other, investing in one another, and lifting Christ up. And so I thought this morning I would ask Craig Bartley, one of the facilitators of the group, one of the many leaders in that group, to just share a little bit about what God has done there. So Craig, just take a minute and share about what God has been doing, what He's done in your group.
Worship, I think, would be the word that describes where our neighborhood fellowship has gone. And according to 1 Chronicles 16, it is to ascribe, to worship is to ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. And we all are familiar with worshiping the Lord through song here at Sunday. And what a great way to worship the Lord through song. But there are other ways to worship the Lord too. And I want to share a scripture with you in Acts 2:42. This is right after Peter gives the masses at Pentecost the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And he says, and this is an example of the first century Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All of the believers were together, and they had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And when I go through that list, that's exactly what our neighborhood fellowship is doing. We start with singing. We pray. We praise the Lord for all that He's done in our lives. We discuss the Scriptures. We eat together with glad and sincere hearts. We give to the needy. We have outreach programs that we put into effect. We help each other, and those are, and we give each other sharing with one another things that we need and that we have to share. And also, you know, in Romans 12 it says, "Give your bodies as living sacrifices. This is your spiritual act of worship." So worship doesn't stop here. It goes on to in our homes and within the groups that the church has established as our neighborhood fellowship groups. That's where our worship of the Lord grows, within one another and into the community. And I'm just really proud to be part of the group that I am part of. And I would like to encourage anyone who's not part of a neighborhood fellowship group to please, please do that. This is something that pleases the Lord. I believe He's pleased with our group and with other groups around the neighborhood. And please get involved with a neighborhood fellowship group and enjoy the favors of the Lord.
Thanks, Craig. So we are looking at John 3, and we are to love in such a way that Christ has lifted up and has given. And we are called to give into one another's lives and to share. And thank you, Craig, for sharing about that. So a second thing in our response and how God would have us love in such a way that you stretch beyond your walls the word world. And in each of these 4 points, I'm linking them to a word or a phrase in this passage. Let's look back at verses 16 and following. Look at how frequently world is used here. Of course, in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Then in verse 17, "God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Then down in verse 19, this is the verdict: "Light has come into the world." 5 times in these short verses. And John and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are sending a message that God has come not just for a select few, not just for this group, not just for the nation of Israel, not just for the Jews, but for the world. He is driving that point home. And we are called to love in such a way that we would stretch beyond our walls, beyond the circles that we would be expected to love, to love those on the outside, whatever that means. I was thinking this morning as I was praying at my home myself that stretching beyond the walls for me in part means loving the people right next door to me that I barely know. How many of us have people not far from us, maybe an acre or two away, maybe a few feet away, that we could show the love of Christ to this Christmas season, loving in such a way that you stretch beyond your walls? Who is it that is outside your expected circle of love? I was convicted in one of our meetings, one of our elder meetings, and we were talking about the whole economic situation and the possibility of families losing their homes. And the importance of us being willing to make sacrifices. And I'm moving now into the next point. The next point is that we should love in such a way that you are willing to give anything necessary. And we were talking in this elder meeting about the real possibility of people in our church body needing places to stay. And the question was, are we going to be willing to take people in our own homes and to give up the comforts and some of the things that we have to show Christ's love to others? And of course, that can be a very difficult thing as I'm thinking about our family dynamics. And Lord, would you have me to do this with a particular family? But when we look at the love of God, that he gave his one and only son, he is looking for us this Christmas season to be willing to give whatever it takes to advance his kingdom, to show his love, to make sacrifices, not for the sake of sacrifices. He's not looking for us just to suffer or to be burdened by something. But if we are to be burdened by something to show his love and to gain something so much greater, that is what he's looking for. And we need to be willing this Christmas season to do anything that is necessary. He gave his one and only son for us. And then the fourth and final point this morning is this greatest gift that was ever given should have us respond to love in such a way that the only explanation for our action, for certain things that we do, the only explanation for it is the grace of God done through God. And this comes from the very last verse of our passage for today. Look at that with me, verse 21. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. And there's this tremendous imagery of the light here. Going back up to verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. One of the things God is looking for us to do is to shed his light this Christmas season. And you know, the people who do not know Christ that are around us, they often think that we have a superiority complex, a pride complex. And it is part of our difficult mission and task to show them that all that we have done is walked under the light. All that we have done is come under the grace of God. We have nothing, and lack nothing that they don't have. We are sinners. We are full of pride. We are full of selfishness. But what we have done is we have walked into that light. And we should be doing things that show that we have walked into that light and that are accomplished only through the grace of God. One commentator writes this. He says, the difference between the believer and the unbeliever does not lie in the guilt or innocence of either. It lies in the different attitudes they take toward the light. The unbeliever shrinks from the light because it exposes his sin. The believer, that's you and me, those of you who know Christ, we willingly come to the light so that our real motives may be revealed. But we have the same sins. We have the same thing, and we need to show. We have the same struggles, and we need to show the greatness of our God and his grace this Christmas season as we reflect on the greatest gift ever given. Close with an illustration of this that's tied with this last phrase, done through God, that others might see plainly that what he has done in me has been done through God. The actions that he has done in my life, I'm praying that some of them will be seen to be accomplished only because of his grace. I'll share this last illustration with you today. Probably many of you, like me, have had conversations with people after Thanksgiving, kind of the post-Thanksgiving conversation. How was your Thanksgiving? How was your Thanksgiving? Did you go? Did you stay? What did you do? And I have had these conversations with many people, and recently I was talking with someone, and they shared something with me that fits this text. As I was listening to them, I heard, that has been done. What has been done in their lives has been done only by and through the grace of God. And their story went a little something like this. They said, you know, we had Thanksgiving here at our house, and they had family and others that came. And this couple that hosted Thanksgiving, the woman, the hostess of this Thanksgiving, said, we had someone special this Thanksgiving to our home. And the person that they had was the husband of this house, his ex-wife. For Thanksgiving with all of the family. They had reached out to her, said, we want you to be here. We want to show you the love of Jesus Christ. And she needed to be shown that love of Christ. She needed the light of God to be shed on her. And it was done in such a powerful way. It said as they were sitting around the Thanksgiving table sharing what they were thankful for, few words could get out because of the tears that were coming down faces. Not because of any kind of external righteousness or religiousness, but because of the grace of God. The greatest gift that has been ever given was given to this couple. And they were showing grace and mercy in a way that really makes no sense for a woman to do that apart from the love and the grace of God. I want to ask you today, is there someone that you need to reach out to, someone that you need to respond to the greatest gift that's been ever given by just casting that light? Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's the person just next door that you need to go and talk with and show his love. My prayer for us this Christmas season is that we would be showing God's love to those around us, and that all of the stuff would be pointing us to him and to his grace. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the greatest gift ever given. We thank you that God so loved the world that he gave, and he gave so sacrificially, his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And not only will we not perish and have eternal life, but we have joy and peace in this life that otherwise is elusive. Father, I pray again that we would be able to spread the light. Lord, keep us from the distractions, and may all of the Christmas trees and celebrations and events and parties be pointers to God and his grace. God, help us to be spreaders of the light of the grace of God this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.